God, we thank you and we bless your holy name. Because when we can laugh, we can release. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you that we don't have to be so stuffy and so serious all the time, recognizing that the simplicity of the gospel should free us. And so we come in the name of Jesus asking that you will open our minds so that we can receive your word. Let us receive the word like we receive our meal in a drive-through fast food line, not necessarily for the quick and in a hurry nature, but in the fact that we have ordered it and now we are able to receive it, eat it, and digest it. Help us, O God, to eat your word so that we might be able to digest it and apply it to our lives and then live a life that is pleasing to you, that others can see you in us and cry out, what must I do to be saved? In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Tonight, we will look at John, John's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. Brother Kithcart, if you would read those verses for us.
After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well, whatever disease he had. Let me get to the right page. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, after another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. I say again, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, it is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. He answered them, he who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. Then they asked him, who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? But the one who was healed did not know who it was, but Jesus had withdrawn a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath.
All right. Thank you very much. Two very important areas that we're going to cover tonight. Jesus does heal a paralytic man. And then the second big area that we will cover tonight is that he did it on the Sabbath. All right. Controversy begins in Jesus' ministry at this point. Here we find at the fifth chapter of John, the opposing forces start mounting up. When you do nothing, you have some people who got something to say. When you do something, then you got a lot of folk who got something to say. And so when you begin working out that which God has put on the inside of you to do to his glory or for his glory, you must anticipate everybody is not going to be too pleased with what you're doing. It could be an usher at the door. It could be a singer on the choir. It could be a preacher in the pulpit. Amen. none of us are, you know, although I'm the pastor, we all have functions in the body of Christ. But all of us are trying to get where? To heaven, amen. As the pastor, I'm trying to get to heaven just like the usher, just like the stewardess, just like the class leader, just like the missionary. And so God compels and commands us to work out our soul salvation with fear and trembling. Whatever area God has called you, you should work until the day is done. Amen. Because we said it last week, night will come where no person can work. Amen. And so it is, my brothers and sisters, that we are all trying to get to heaven. And so here we find that in or along the journey, we have individuals who are a part of this cloud or a part of this crowd of individuals who are simply spectating on the sidelines, watching every move you make so that they can have something to say about it. Have you ever come in contact with a naysayer? Tell me a little bit about a naysayer. A naysayer always normally saying what? No. You know, let's build a ramp to help the handicapped folk so that they wouldn't have to, you know, have to climb up the steps to get into the church. No. Why? Because I said so. We don't need no handicap ramp when you got 95% of the church handicapped. But we don't need no ramp. And so here we find, my brothers and sisters, that at this juncture, the opposition to what Jesus is doing is beginning to bubble up to the surface. Amen. Now, all before, it was passive resistance. There are some folk, you remember when, you know, he came into Jerusalem, not at this point, but when Palm Sunday, you know, we can flash back into our reality of our mind. During Palm Sunday, when he came into Jerusalem, they were shouting what? Hosanna! Blessed be the one who comes in the name of the Lord. It was the same week. By the end of the same week, they were crying what? Crucify him. It was exactly the same crowd, the same people. There are some folk you will never be able to please. You can stand on top of your head. You can slide sideways down the aisle. There are some folk you will never be able to please. That's why we just have to do what the Lord says do. And individuals will catch up along the way. Amen. As I used to tell some of my students when I taught school, the same clothes you got mad in be the same clothes you got glad in. Amen. We cannot be moved or swayed by the tides of the time, but we must be consistent in that which we do for the Lord. Amen. Hostility began surfacing in Jesus' ministry, not by Jesus, but by those who opposed what he was doing. How do you deal with hostile folk? I mean, individuals who are all up in your face all the time. That's stressful, isn't it? Oh, amen, lights. Yeah, that's stressful. I mean, you're trying to do the most good that you can to help individuals, and all they can do is gripe and complain and murmur and mumble and talk. And I mean, what more do you want? And so that's what Jesus, at this point, was up against. Now, one thing we do learn that in these verses 1 through 18, that it's divided into three parts. We're going to talk about the miracle that was performed. So in the midst of all of this hostility, in the midst of all of this opposition, look here, God is still working. All glory, I can do a shout on. God is still working. See, that's why you got to keep your eyes on the Lord and don't even study those folk who got so much to say about whatever it is, because if you are doing it for God, look here, if God is for you, he is more than the whole world against you. So we're going to talk about the miracle that was performed. And then we will also look at the fact that that Jesus was persecuted. And then they started planning his murder. Amen. Have you ever had somebody say, I can't stand you? You better watch out for that person. See, first it starts with a sucking of the teeth. Then it starts with a cutting of the eye. Then the next thing, look at it, unslap you in your face. And see, before the slap, if you paid close attention, look at, there's some things that preceded the slap. Yeah. Every time you open your, you raise your hand to say something, then I'm blow off and you can tell. And you're like, well, why is so-and-so acting that way toward me? I mean, no good reason. I mean, they don't have no good reason. They have no good reason. But look at, they better not slap you. But look, Jesus did tell you to turn the other cheek and don't slap them back, right? And so we know everybody in here, all of you will turn the other cheek. Nobody in here will slap them back. Amen. Praise the Lord. Nobody in here, because we are all super Christians. And so we would not slap them back. But these are the things. Now notice in verse number 1, John chapter 5, verse number 1, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. All of these things, remember, during the time of the wedding at Cana of Galilee, that was during the time of a feast, remember? And so now here we find Jesus about to perform a miracle. It was during the time of a feast. And during these times of feast, those who were in Jerusalem, I mean, people came from all over. This was almost like, I would hate to say, we're about to have Spoleto, right? People come from all over. So the city was, I mean, jam-slam packed with individuals who had come for a purpose. Amen. And we're going to talk about that purpose in just a minute. But there were more people in the city than normal is the point that I wanted to make, because of the what? Feast. Amen. And so because of the feast, we also talked about this. It's almost like communion. Remember we talked about this? So when it's almost like Easter Sunday morning. It's one of those high times that individuals, whether they, you know, are super religious or not, they should at least respect the fact that this is a special day, right? And so Jesus made John is making the distinction that Jesus was doing this during a time that was a high spiritual, a very sacred, sanctimonious, sanctified time that the people in that day should have immediately recognized. And they should have appreciated. So it was during the time of a feast. It was a high religious time. Everybody should have been floating. Everybody should have been of the same mind. Everybody should have been in the same appreciative spirit. Everybody should have been in celebration mode. But we have hostility and we have opposition. Now notice in verse number 2. Now there was in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, and it had 5 porches. So here during this feast, this particular feast, annually, there was at this particular location an opportunity. Somebody say opportunity. And this was an opportunity for healing. But only of all of the people who were in the city, only one person was going to get the healing. Turn to your neighbor and say, is it you? Yeah. And so remember, the Bible said this porch, this particular place, it had 5 porches. This particular sheep gate had 5 porches, and people were packed on each of these individual porches, because those who were there, all of them came with a spirit of anticipation. All of them wanted to be what? Healed. And see, when we come to certain places, we have to come with a certain level of expectation. What you put in is what you're going to get out. If you came with no expectations, by the time you leave, you are going to be disappointed. But if you came with a level of expectation that God is going to do whatever it is you expect for God to do, look at, God will do that. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I went to a meeting one night and my soul just wasn't right, because something got a hold of me. And then, lo and behold, at some point, the Holy Ghost got a hold of me. Looked at my hand. My hand looked new. Looked at my feet. My feet looked new. And so here we find, my brothers and sisters, God meets us at the intersection of expectation. Oh, yes, he does. Oh, yes, he does. If you expect him to move, he'll move. May not come when you want him, but whenever he does come, he is on time. And we can't order the time. God, when he comes, he is on time. We say he's an on-time God, and it becomes a cliche, but he really is an on-time God. Now let's look at what goes on here. In these, meaning the porches, lay a great multitude of sick people. This is just like going to Roper Hospital or St. Francis or Trident Regional Medical Center or East Cooper or all these hospitals that fill up with what, sick people, amen? Hospice or going to the Heartland or to the nursing homes filled with sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting. Look here, what were they doing? They were all sitting there waiting for the moving of the water because they understood. Somebody say they understood. They understood that as soon as the hand of God began to trouble the water, that the first one that dived in the pool, they were going to be made what? Whole of their sickness. I don't know about you, but we don't have to wait for the pool to be troubled because, look here, stepped in the water may have been cold, it chilled your body, but, well, not your soul. Since my soul got a seat in the kingdom, everything will always be all right. And so we have to come to the church house with a spirit of expectation. It may not be porches, it may not be a pool, but I've come expecting to get a breakthrough in this place. They were just waiting for God to move. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, I'm waiting for God to move. Look at him, I'm waiting. I'm waiting, I'm waiting, I'm waiting, I'm waiting, I'm waiting for God to move. Look at I'm waiting for God to move. You don't have to know what I need God to move particularly for in my life, but I am waiting for God to move. Every porch was filled with a multitude of sick people. Can you imagine the hope that existed among these people? It could be me. What if I'm the one who makes it in the pool and my soul, my body, my life is delivered? I mean, have you ever prayed, Lord, could you please heal my body? Whatever this thing is, I don't even know when it started. I don't even know how it started. I don't know how I even got in this predicament. I can remember the time when I was able to run, leap, and jump, but not, oh God, I pray right now, God, for you to move. But they still had, as sick as they were, they had hope. That God was able to heal them if they got in the pool. Now look, for an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. This was the tradition. This is what happened. They've seen it. They knew it worked. They understood. And that's why these folk, they were bringing all their sick folk who had been sick for a long time. How do we know? Let's look at the next verse. Now, a certain man was there. Yeah, he was there. The Bible said he was there. A certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. Notice how John denotes how long the man had the disease, because those who were in that town would be able to recognize that this man was sick exactly that long. Have you ever known somebody who was sick for a long time? And then, I mean, nobody could tell you no different because you knew that they were sick for a long time. And if God somehow miraculously healed them, they would know, meaning those people in the town would know that the hand of God, only God, healed their body. How many of you have ever gone to the doctor and they gave you everything in the world, but it didn't help? The doctor can't heal you. The Lord. Let me tell you, I'm on some medicine. I thought I had some in my pocket, but I must have... Sometimes I have to remember, did I take it? I did take it. I must have took it when I ate lunch. I don't know. I'm getting like Miss Pinkney. Miss Pinkney came to me. This is an aside. This has nothing to do with anything. Miss Pinkney said, Pastor, did you eat my sub? I said, Miss Pinkney, I did not eat your sub. I said, Miss Pinkney, you have the sub, the empty wrapper right there on your. She said, oh, yeah, I must have eaten it. How do you not remember you ate the whole son? She said, oh yeah, I did eat it. I did eat it. But she had just finished eating. I watched her eat it. Oh, Lord have mercy. The things that go on in this office, y'all would not believe. It's a miracle. Oh, but it's so funny. I just thought that was funny, and it was that was very funny. But she didn't remember that she'd eaten the sub. But sometimes, you know, when I take medication, I take it in the name of Jesus. Because I recognize that it's not the medicine, it's the Lord. Because there are some people who take the same medicine and the medicine don't work. And then even when you look statistically, there's a certain percentage of people it won't work. And it could be you, amen. So we take it in the name of the Lord. Amen. Rather be ibuprofen or whatever. In the name of the Lord, amen. That it will work. So here we find that this man was there and he had an infirmity for 30 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition for a long time, he said to the man, do you want to be made well? Jesus saw him. He knew he'd been in that condition for a long time. And Jesus recognized that this man was sick and tired of being sick. Do you want to be made well? Don't you know that there are some people who love being sick? So they can say, oh, child. Oh, girl, you just don't know about my hip. And girl, I had 3 doctor's appointments, but they can't find nothing. Well, why do you keep going? I mean, why? I mean, some folk, they got so many problems that, amen, I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to leave that alone. They just got a lot of problems. And sometimes, you know, it's really in the mind, amen. Some people want to be sick so bad, but if they get a good sickness, they would never want it. They would never want it. Amen. I was watching a movie like that. This lady, she was making her child sick so she can get the sympathy. Yeah. You know, she was sitting there poisoning the little child with something. But every time people would get, oh, you're such a good mother, such a devoted mother, and, you know, every time they tried to take the child to the hospital to get the child better, she would, oh, no, I'm going to take her out. I'm a nurse. I'm a whatever. But she wanted the sympathy. She had some kind of sickness within herself that she got off on being able to receive all of the. And so Jesus asked this man, do you want to be made well? Corporately, that's a good question to ask even for the church. You know, some churches have been sick for so long, they've been without for so long, they've been depraved for so long, and then when you have the opportunity, yeah, I'm going to leave that alone. The sick man, jab, the sick man, but look at you won't miss your water till your well run dry. That's all I got to say about that. Amen. The sick man answered him. Amen. Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps before me. The man was powerless. He needed somebody to help him. I dare you to turn to your neighbor and say, everybody need help sometime. See, sometimes we forget the fact that from time to time, look here, we all get down to a place where, and see, sometimes the Lord puts you down to a place where you can have all the money in the bank, but look here, you can't even get up out of the bed to get to the money. Look, you can have all the food you want in your refrigerator, but you have no appetite. They got to feed you through a tube. I'm here to remind you that God will get all of us to a certain place that we recognize that ain't nobody can do us like the Lord. Yeah. We all need help sometimes. The man recognized, he said, I'm here on the porch, but I don't have nobody to put me in the pool. Have you ever been that close, but so far away? Close. I mean, literally can see the water on the porch, at the door. I mean, can feel the atmosphere of healing is all around you, but no man to put me in the pool. And then there are some folk who are selfish because, you know, everybody who was there wanted to be healed, or they were there to help their loved one to be healed. So they were not necessarily there studying nobody else. Amen. From time to time, we have to take time to find out what people actually need. If I could help somebody as I pass along, then my living would not be in vain. What if Septima Clark decided not to educate young black people back in the day? What if Harriet Tubman got sick of the Underground Railroad? Where would we be? And so we have to come to a place where we are willing to help somebody along the way. The man, Jesus said to him, rise up, take up your bed and walk. And immediately, somebody say immediately. Immediately. So you ask when the Lord come? Immediately. When does he come? Immediately. See, 38 years, but it was on time. Immediately, the man was made what? Well. Took up his bed and he did what? Walk. He was healed right there on the porch because he was talking to Jesus and didn't even know it. Amen. He thought he was just talking to a regular old man. But there was something in the conversation that he was having with Jesus, apparently, that no one else ever asked him before. Do you want to be made well? It's not about the pool. It's all about what's on the inside of you. If you want to be made well, see, some people had to have the pool, the dip in the pool, in order to have the physical, external, outward show of healing. But he had belief. I want to be made well. And Jesus said, right now, rise up, take up your mat, and walk. And while the rest of them were still waiting on the water to be troubled, look at, he was already healed on the pool. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying tonight, but see, while others are waiting, look at the hymn writer said, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear what? My humble cry. While on others, look at, do everything you can for everybody else, but look at, Lord, don't forget me. Do not pass me by. It's not selfish. And so here we find my brothers and sisters right there on the porch. While others were waiting to be healed, the man had already received his healing. Can't you imagine being in a church filled with folk, and some people are waiting for the altar call, but somewhere in the midst of the service, you know, you have a crazy pastor who then, you know, we get all this, come on, let's, you know. Some things you got to praise your way through. Yes, you must. Some things you have to pray your way through. Some things you just have to enable God in the midst of it just to deliver you out of. And so you can be right there back in your pew and build up an altar on pew number 8 and begin to pray and tarry and ask God, and right there in your pew, the pastor didn't ever touch you, but the Lord will touch you. Yes, he will, right where you are. And so we have to come to a place that we enable God to speak to us. I don't know if you've ever been driving in your car. And I mean, just the power of God overwhelms you right in your car to the extent that you got to pull over on the side of the road and the tears start streaming down your face. Have you ever been in your own house? And I mean, you may not have had to go into a prayer closet or a prayer room, but you felt the power of the Holy Ghost in your bathroom. And you began to praise God for the victory that he had already given you. I don't know if you've ever been on your job and you had the hell of hounds on your back right there, and you went in your cubicle and you prayed unto God and asked God to give you peace on your, and look here, they don't even mess with you no more. God will answer your prayers. Rise up. Take up your mat and walk. And immediately the man was made well. Jesus asked him, do you want to be made well? Now look, this happened on the Sabbath. That's where he didn't mess up, but that's where they were trying to jam him up. See, sometimes they'll always try to jam you up, amen. Some folk who are looking for something, they're gonna find it, amen. They overlook the healing and they focus on the fact that it was done on the Sabbath. Now look, they didn't go to Jesus. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, it is the Sabbath. It is not lawful to you to carry your bed. Well, first of all, this man had not even been vertical in 38 years. And so for who do you think you are? Look at, not only will I be carrying my bed, I'll be carrying the whole building. Amen. If God has healed me and enabled me to get up off of my sick bed and walk, I mean, the man was so exuberant and joyful and happy. And isn't that just like the devil? That when the Lord has done something for you, the devil is right. See, Jesus healed him immediately, and immediately, look here, they confronted him to try to steal his what? Joy. Turn to your neighbor and say, ain't gonna steal my joy. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Turn to somebody else and say, the devil is not going to steal my joy. Turn to somebody else and say, the devil is not going to. I'm serious. Turn to somebody. The devil is not going to steal my joy. This joy that I have, look here, if I don't have nothing else, I'm going to hold on to my joy. Glory, hallelujah. I may not have no money, but I got joy. I may not have a job, but I got joy. I don't have no husband or no wife, but I got joy. Yeah. And so they confronted him. And the man answered them, he who has made me well said to me, take up my bed and walk. Then they said to him, who is he? Who is the man that said this to you? Take up your bed and walk. But the one who was healed did not know who it was. See, he didn't even know it was Jesus. He presumed it must have been the angel, forgot to go and stir up the water and came directly to him. Amen. All night, all day, there are angels watching over you. Oh, he said he'll be a wheel in the middle of your wheel. I mean, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but I declare one time I was a car went through my car. Yeah. I can't explain it, but I am clear that it should have been a T-bone intersection kind of accident. But the Lord delivered me and enabled the car to go through. Y'all don't believe me, but I'm telling you the truth. There was an angel that was watching over me. Somebody said, well, let God be your co-pilot. Mm-mm. Look, he's my pilot. I want him on my left, on my right, in my front, and in my back. Yeah. Over your head, you can hear music. He enables the angels, a cloud of witness, to be like your own personal cheerleading section to remind you to keep on going forward. God is that good. And so he didn't know who Jesus was. For he was withdrawn. Remember, he was sick on his bed. He wasn't at the wedding at Cana of Galilee. He wasn't seeing Jesus healing the multitude. He didn't see Jesus raising the, he hadn't raised the dead at this point, but he was not able to witness the miracles because when you're in your sick room, look here, you are checked out of the world. Amen. You don't know what's going on so much on the outside. There was no Twitter and Facebook and TV back in these days. Amen. A multitude being in that place. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and he said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Sometimes Jesus tells individuals, rise, take up your bed and walk. Your sins have been forgiven. And then he says, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Some sickness is because your soul is sick. Remember the woman who was bent over for all those long years, and she was could never, just double over, et cetera. And then Jesus said, he healed her, and he said, your sins have been forgiven. She had gone to every doctor, but the doctor can't cure hate. The doctor can't cure envy. The doctor can't cure jealousy. See, all of those things manifest themselves somewhere in your body. Yes, it does. Yeah, you hate people so, at some point you got something growing out the side of your neck. And you wonder, well, why on earth do I have this thing growing out of the side of my neck? The more you hate the person, you feel the thing pulsating out the side of your neck. That's the hate that has created an appendage. And so your sin sometimes makes you sick. And so Jesus recognized that this man's bedridden condition was not because of a faith issue, but it was because of a sin issue. He said, sin no more. He said, if you go back out and do the same thing, and especially getting tangled up with those same people who are about to steal your joy, you will be worse off than you were when you first started. Amen. Have you ever been delivered from something? Then you go back and hang out with the same crowd. Look at when the Lord done changed your life, you better change your friends. Because if he does not change your friends when he changed your life, either they're going to draw you or you're going to draw them. And if you are not strong enough to draw them and you continue to hang out with them and they are still snorting lines of cocaine and you say, well, you know, the Bible says and whatever, then the next thing you know, you look at your face down on the table too. You got to be careful because you'll find yourself worse off than you were before. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made them well. See, when Jesus came to him the second time, Jesus revealed himself to him. And he knew that it was Jesus because Jesus then forgave him of his sins. He made him well and he pardoned him of his sins. Bless you. And he told him to go back and tell those individuals that it was Jesus who made him well. For this reason, now Jesus rubbed it in their face. Jesus already knew they were hostile against him. Jesus already knew that they had already started opposition forces against him. For this reason, because he healed the man on the Sabbath, for this reason now, is there anything wrong with healing somebody? Now, wouldn't you prefer to be healed on the Sabbath? Didn't he rise again? You know, well, it was the first day, you know, morning, but he waited until the Sabbath. But, you know, Jesus said to them, if your ox is in the ditch on the Sabbath, do you leave it in the ditch until the next morning? Or do you take the ox out of the ditch right then? Ms. Sims, if I see you and you need me to do something for you on Highway 61, I say, well, Ms. Sims, because it's Sunday, I got to wait until Monday to come pick you up. I'm telling you. Then you come back Monday, you don't see Ms. Sims. You don't see her. And so for this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. This then goes to the heart of how hateful these people are. Everybody who's in the church is not in the Lord. Mm-mm. Everybody who walks through the door does not come for the same purpose. I found myself these days, even the more in prayer, because you can see it. And you got to be so careful that you don't allow yourself to be sucked in. Because the enemy, just like this web in our national political scene, and now with the special they're going to find all this stuff. And whosoever is entangled and ensnared in any way, look here, they're all going to be flushed out. The same is true with the web of sin. When individuals are hateful and filled with malice and have no good intent, and they are not saved and sanctified, and their lives have not been changed by the liberating power of God, you better be careful of those people. We love everybody, but be careful, because these are the same type individuals, based on the popularity of Jesus, based on the success of his public ministry, based on the power that he possessed, because he was God in flesh, based on the power that he possessed, they then saw him as a threat. And when people see you as a threat, it's trouble on hand. And so here we find, my brothers and sisters, that the Jews not only persecuted him, they then, from this point, sought how they might kill him because he healed somebody on the Sabbath. Lord, have mercy. And so we're going to stop there. Next week, we will pick back up talking about how Jesus is equal with God, not only in nature, but also in power. And then we will talk about the witness of John the Baptist and the works of Christ as John witnessed Jesus working in his public ministry. There is no power like the power of God. And so when we see Jesus at work, we can see God in the fullness of his power. And Jesus said, even greater works than these will you be able to do, because he has given us, he's transferred. That's, hallelujah. He's transferred the same power to those of us who believe. Amen. Amen. All right, we're ready for the gift card.
Let us pray.
Everybody needs a little help.
Our Father and our God, we come to thee this evening with thankful hearts for all that you have done for us, for each and every blessing that you have bestowed upon us. Father, we just thank you for life, for health, and for strength. And Father, we know it's not of our own making that we have these blessings. Father, we give you the thanks and the praise that you have been so good to us. Father, we pray for your grace and your mercy. And Father, we pray that you will touch each of us, that we may touch someone and pass your mercy on to them. Father, we know that you're able to do all things but fail. We pray that you will heal those that stand in need of a special blessing. Father, touch their bodies. And Father, do the good that they stand in need of. And Father, touch us. Touch our hearts. Help us to know that we are here for your works, not our works, and that you can use us to do good for our fellow man. Father, bless us this day. Bless the Mount Zion Church family, bless our leadership. And Father, bless the leadership of our country and other countries of this world. Father, bless the leaders. And Father, have them to know that you are in charge. They are not in charge. And Father, have them to understand that you, that they are to work for your people and not themselves. And Father, bless us this day and keep us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen.